Before we read the scriptures today, I want to give just a quick update on a little boy named Silas Lauder. Silas Lauder is part of the Lauder family. Randy and Karen worshipped with us for 3 months earlier this year, this summer. And they're from Canada. They serve. Randy serves as an administrator at a mission school in Port-au-Prince. I've known them for many years. Little Silas has come down with bacterial meningitis. His mother wrote, "Thank you for praying for Silas. The Lord has been merciful. We are so thankful. He is still in the hospital on IV antibiotics, but little by little we're seeing progress." And also continue, "The last 2 days, Silas has done really well. His body is slowly getting stronger. He's able to sit for a bit on his own. And today, in physiotherapy, he crawled a little bit. The highlights of his day are definitely when the kids, his brothers and sisters, come to see him. He's smiley, chatty, and loves to show off his sitting." We're feeling so thankful. So remember to pray for little Silas. They're back up in the Toronto area. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13. We're going through the book of Revelation in these morning sermons, and we've come to the middle of chapter 14. We're going to look at just one verse today, verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this: Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed,' says the Spirit, 'that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.'" And thus ends the reading of God's word. "The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God, and God's word stands forever." There is an outline for this morning's message on the next page, on page 9. We join me as we pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on this service and this sermon. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we take a moment now to pause and pray and ask for your blessing. Oh Lord, if you do not build the house, our labor is in vain. If you do not build the church, Lord, our labor is in vain. If you do not preach the sermon, Lord, behind the scenes as the great shepherd of the sheep standing among his people, if Christ is not here, oh Lord, this whole exercise is in vain. And so we call on the name of the Lord today and pray for your presence and your blessing among us. Oh Lord, your word says, the Lord Jesus said at that great sermon on the mount, that the blessed ones are those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their spiritual poverty. Oh Lord, come and make us rich in Christ. Your word says, blessed are those who mourn. Here is the sign of God's blessing, that we grieve over our sins. And so Lord, remind us again how great is our sin. Your word says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Lord, give us a spirit of meekness as we remember that we are sinners who deserve judgment. So humble us before you that you might raise us up. Your word says the blessed ones are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Lord, give us that desire today to be more like Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would give us mercy. Your word says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So Lord, may we never be standing haughty and in judgment over others, but give us a merciful spirit like our Savior, for we are those who have received abundant mercy. Your word says the blessed ones are the pure in heart, those who've been purified from sin. Oh Lord, keep us pure within and without. Your word says blessed are those who are peacemakers. Lord, give us a desire to bring together those who are at odds and to bring those who are enemies of God to know the King of creation through the Prince of Peace. Your word says the blessed ones are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So remind us, Lord, that when we are persecuted, it is because of the grace of God that rests on us, and you've set us apart from the world, and we are the targets of the dragon who's gone off to make war against those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Your word also says, our great Savior said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely on my account against you. We are to rejoice and be glad because great is our reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before us. So, Lord, change our thinking that when we do encounter hostility in the world, it's not because we've done something wrong. Oh, Lord, may it be only because we follow you. So, Lord, come today and feed our souls, prepare us for life, and prepare us for eternity today. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us and help me, your servant, to faithfully proclaim the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Every day that question comes to us, right? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to eat? Are you ready to order? Are you ready for school? Are you ready for bed? Are you ready to get up? But are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Come on, Pastor. That's such a negative title. Can we talk about happier things than death? I asked a few people today, I want to tell you what my sermon title is this coming Sunday and tell me what you think. I said, my sermon title this coming Sunday is, Are You Ready to Die? Why do you think I would entitle a message, Are You Ready to Die? Well, the consistent answer was, because we need to be ready to die, right? We do. Every moment of every day. There is an outline for you on the next page. Hear the voice, believe the promise, and prepare your soul. Are you ready to die? The Apostle John writes these things, and I heard a voice from heaven. This is John the Apostle. He begins this book, Revelation chapter 1, saying, I, John, one of the 12 disciples, now an apostle, and as most biblical scholars believe at this point, the last living disciple in his 90s, perhaps, or 80s. He's on the island of Patmos. Did you know that when he wrote this book? He was exiled to a punishment colony of the Romans. You can look it up. You can actually go visit Patmos. There's a church and a monastery there now where the cave is that they think that John received this vision. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he received this from the Lord Jesus, who said to write these things. And what we have as a result is the book of Revelation, which is a picture book of encouragement for God's people in the first century all the way down to today. And all the images that you find in the book of Revelation would have been very relevant and clear and understandable to the people in the first century, even if they seem mysterious to us today. But there is a great promise that is given to God's people that for those who read this and take it to heart, there is great blessing. This book was written to those who are in the midst of the tribulation. When is the tribulation? We're in the tribulation now. We've been in the tribulation since the resurrection of Christ and will be to the coming of the Lord again. We are in the midst of the last days. The scripture says the last days are all those days between his resurrection and his coming again, and we're to be ready for him. Are you ready? This passage begins, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, we're not told, you know, where this voice comes from other than that it's from heaven. We're not told whose voice it is. We do know elsewhere in Scripture that when a voice comes from heaven, that it's the Lord, our Heavenly Father. You think of the voice that came from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and at the transfiguration of Jesus, the divine Son. In the Bible, it's the voice of the Father who speaks from heaven, confirming the work and the glory of the divine Son. This is my Son, right? At his baptism, he said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. At his transfiguration there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was revealed in all of his glory to three of his apostles, one of them, John, he said, this is my Son, my chosen one. listen to him or hear him. Now the voice from heaven speaks, the Father speaks, proclaiming a blessing. Proclaiming a blessing. If you think about all the times that the Father speaks, even in the Old Testament from heaven, one pastor, an English pastor named John Lyth in the 1860s says, heaven never speaks on trifling occasions or upon matters of indifference. Its utterances are always solemn and weighty. That's what we have before us today. This declaration is preserved for us, lifted up for us, preserved and given to us of the highest importance as it is the voice from heaven. It's authoritative. This is not of human origin. The voice from heaven, the voice of the Father, says, write this. Now, John's been commanded to write this whole book. We saw that at the very beginning. In fact, 12 times the command is given to write, for John to write in the book of Revelation. It's something very specific here. Write and underline this. Keep it as a record forevermore. This must never be forgotten. The Holy Spirit knows that God's people need this. You would need this 2,000 years later. Write this as an encouragement for believers for the rest of time. Write this for all those who go through trials and tribulation. The churches that first received this letter, the seven churches that we find in modern-day Turkey that are given there in Revelation 2 and 3, those people were going through great trials, great tribulation. Write this for those who are facing death and martyrdom. Hear this, underline this. For Christians down through the ages, as a comfort when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whether for yourself or with a loved one. Write this, John, so it will never be forgotten. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? That tag is at the end of each one of the seven letters of the seven churches. You could add it here. Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying even today? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Write this, underline this, keep this, memorize this, apply this to the heart. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. The exact same word is used by Jesus in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The same word. Here is the sign of God's blessing. Here are the happy ones. Here are the blessed ones. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Here are the happy ones, the ones upon whom God's favor rests. If you think of all those pronouncements, the Beatitudes, there in Matthew chapter 5, those promises turn the philosophy of the world upside down. God's word says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know they're spiritually bankrupt. Here's the sign of God's blessing. Those who recognize they have nothing. And so they grieve over their sins. They mourn. Here's the blessed one, the one who is humbled and realizes, I have no standing of my own before the Lord. Oh, Lord, give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here's the blessed one. Again, it turns the philosophy of the world upside down. This isn't what the world thinks. The world says, blessed is the one who has everything they need. Blessed is the one who has the big house, the big car, the big boat, the big everything, the big plane. No, the blessed ones. The blessed ones are the ones in whom the Spirit of God is at work. And the blessed one is the one who dies in the Lord. Blessed are the dead. Isn't that phrase strange? Blessed are the dead. It's true, the voice from heaven announces it. Blessed are the dead, but the promise is in a sense narrow. It's limited. It's restricted. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. In the Lord. This promise is only for those who die in the Lord. It applies only to them who die in the Lord. Well, what does that mean? if the blessed ones are the ones who die in the Lord, what does it mean to die in the Lord? We ought to ask that question, right? Well, that means those who die believing in the gospel, with faith in the Lord Jesus. Blessed are those who die united to him by faith, so that they are in him and he is in them. In fact, this alludes to one of Paul's favorite phrases, the Apostle Paul. He uses the phrase in Christ all over his letters. In Christ, in Christ, in. Where did he get that from? Well, remember, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. Saul was Saul of Tarsus before he was converted and was called Paul the Apostle. Saul was a first century terrorist. The scripture says he went house to house, dragging off men and women to their death. He was the one who was ravaging the church. He was on a personal mission to see Christians imprisoned and killed. He was on his way, the book of Acts says in chapter 9, to Damascus when a bright light shone from heaven, and it was the risen Lord Jesus who knocked him to the ground and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" He didn't say, "Why are you dragging off my disciples, men and women, and leading them to their death?" He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" I think that left a profound impression on the Apostle Paul. When you touch God's people, you touch the apple of his eye. When you touch Christ's disciples, you touch Christ. They are the body of Christ. When you persecute Christians, you are persecuting Christ. That's why Jesus said to Paul, the risen Savior, on the road to Damascus, "Why are you persecuting me?" It's those who are united to him, because they were in the Lord. That's Paul's favorite phrase. Blessed are those, then, who die in union with Christ, those who die with complete redemption in Christ, those who belong to the Lord, the friend of sinners. Blessed are those who renounce all hope of salvation based on themselves. Blessed are those, you see, it's for us, who do not place our hopes in our good works or our pretended merits. Blessed are those who only trust in the finished work of Christ, who know that they need a Savior, those who've seen by faith that Christ is their only hope, who gave his lifeblood for sinners like us. Blessed are those who die in the love of the Lord, you see, loving him who first loved us. Blessed are those who die in the righteousness of Christ, covered in the righteousness of Christ. Blessed are those who are clothed, who die clothed by the bridegroom, prepared for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Blessed are those who die united by faith to Jesus. Blessed are those who die trusting in God, who can say with the Apostle Paul, "I do have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better than remaining here." You see, death is not the end for those whom God has made alive. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but now God has made you alive in Christ. See, every Christian who says, "I am a sinner and I need a Savior and Christ is my only hope. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins." Like the tax collector in Luke 18, you are justified before God. You belong to him. You are covered in his righteousness. You are clothed in Christ. You are in the Lord. So what's the condition of those who die in the Lord, those who are covered in the righteousness of Christ, those who have renounced their own works, their own merits, who say, "I have nothing, naked in my hand, I don't bring anything to you, Lord." Well, there's blessing. And even death is a blessing for the Christian. Why? Well, you think of all the reasons why. They're removed from the spiritual battle, the dragon's war that we've seen in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 12, that that the dragon is enraged and gone off to make war against all those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he has at his disposal the great beasts that we find in Revelation 13, 14. They're removed from the spiritual battle. It's a blessing. And Revelation speaks of the martyrs who cry out for vindication. Oh, but your death was blessed. Your death was blessed because you have the assurance that not even death can separate you from the love of God in Christ. For the one who dies in the Lord, it means to be at home with the Lord in heaven's glory. It means immediately to be taken away from this world. You think of that scene in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, you know, at the on Golgotha, at the cross, where Jesus is being crucified, and there's a thief on his right and a thief on his left. And at the beginning, they're both hurling insults at Jesus, and then something happens in the heart of one of them as he hears Jesus proclaiming blessings and forgiving those who are crucifying him. One of them has an awakening. One of them is born again. He sees, this is the Messiah. This truly is the sign above his head. This is the King of the Jews. It's true. And remember what he said? He looked at Jesus on the cross with his hands hanging there, nailed to the cross as well, and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Moments before he dies. Remember what Jesus said? Today, you will be with me in paradise. What a blessing. What a blessing for that man to die, to get off that cross, you might say, and be immediately transported to glory when he died. That was a blessing for that man. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. From now on, the text says here. Not that there was no blessing for those who died in the Lord before, but meaning even now, right now, even today, even from this point forward, looking to all the trials and tribulations to come, even as the great dragon wages war against all those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, even now, yes, from now on, through anything that comes, you can have the confidence as you face death that there is a blessing for those who die in the Lord. And by the way, this is a contrast to those who follow the beast and saw this earlier in chapter 14. They have no rest, day and night, always troubled, and no peace. The line goes on, the word from heaven goes on, says, and further, this confirmation, blessed indeed, says the Spirit. You see, the voice from the Father is echoed by the Spirit. This is a beautiful picture of the Trinity, right? The voice of the Father confirmed by the Spirit, those who die in the Lord Jesus. Blessed indeed. It's absolutely true. It's the stamp. It's true. There really is so much about death. We need this confirmation because there's so much about death that is sad. It is sad. It's grievous. It grieves all of us. Death is called the last or greatest enemy because it's a curse. It's awful. And it often involves suffering and sickness or pain or violence. It means leaving loved ones, right? For the one dying, it's the knowledge that you might be leaving loved ones alone. Death is sad, it's grievous, it is a curse. One of the things that I've done over the last 9 years in my ministry to inmates at the Collier Jail through the chaplain's office, we do death notifications. My wife Donna does ones for the women and I do the ones for the men. Just like earlier this week, was called in to do a death notification for a young man who lost his mother. When we do death notifications, sometimes you can see that the grief is explosive. It is a horrible thing. Or having to tell them that their child died. Or, as I did about 8 years ago, to tell a mom that her son died in a car accident. Those are really challenging. Because death is so hard. The weird ones, actually, are when you do a death notification and the person just sits there. Okay. Can I go back now? And they say nothing. But your father died, or your mother died, or your sister died, or your brother died. That's the normal reaction, because we all know death is grievous. It's serious. And yet, in the midst of our sorrow and suffering, we can know as believers that the death of those who die in the Lord is a blessing. Blessed indeed. For those who die in the Lord die with confident trust in the promises of God. We're taken out of the sorrows of this present world. Right? It's the same thought you find in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. The righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart. That is, no one understands it. Devout men are taken away while no one understands, for the righteous man is taken away from calamity. Taken away from calamity. And where do we go? Blessed indeed, the Spirit says. Why? Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You see, for those who die in the Lord, we have to have our thinking totally rearranged. For those who die in the Lord, their death is not to be viewed as a misfortune. Oh, it grieves us. We won't have them anymore. But they leave a world of sin and suffering and enter into eternal glory. They're about to enjoy the marriage feast of the Lamb. They will be forever with all those who've died in the Lord. What a day! Can you imagine what that will be like? To see all those who've died in the Lord before you? What a day. What a day that will be. To meet the apostles. To meet the great heroes of the faith. To see those in your family who've died in the Lord. What a wonderful day that will be. What a great day to be forever with all those who've died in the Lord. To enjoy the marriage feast of the Lamb. What a day. For those who die in the Lord, their death is not viewed as a misfortune. But you know, God never promises a blessed or happy thing for everyone else. For those who do not know the Lord, who do not have the righteousness of Christ, their death is not a happy thing. We cannot say, well, they're in a better place. We cannot say that. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them, for they receive this welcome from God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enjoy, or enter into the joy of your master. So we enter into the joy of our master. We receive the rest for our bodies and souls. And notice there's no mention of purgatory. No, we enter into the rest of our bodies and our souls. Complete rest, heavenly rest. Rest from all sin. Rest from temptation. Rest from sorrow and persecution and disease and suffering and all the struggles of this life. No more discouragements, no more misunderstanding, no more mess. No more lies and no more criticisms and no more disappointments. Rest. And notice, lastly, it says their deeds follow them. Their deeds follow them. Their labor has not been in vain. Their deeds will continue to bear fruit after they've long been gone. Their deeds follow them into the presence of God. No, our deeds don't precede us. It's not our deeds that clear the way for us to go to heaven in any way. No, we only come by faith in Christ. But the good work, the loving service that the servant of the Lord has done doesn't die, but continues into glory. The first fruit will enjoy is that welcoming from the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And we'll meet those, Lord willing, those who've been blessed to testify to your influence in their lives. The unseen, hidden acts of kindness will follow you. As we read earlier in the service today, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Spirit of the Lord will continue to bear fruit through your work. So lastly, I ask you today, prepare your soul. Are you ready? Are you ready to die? Because very simply, you are either in the Lord or you're not. There's no place in between. As the Lord said through Joshua, choose this day whom you'll serve. You're either in the Lord or you're not. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. See, you're either in the Lord or you're still in your sins. And the key is Christ. Believing in him. Faith is absolutely necessary. As we heard earlier in the service, you must be born again, Nicodemus. John 1:12 says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave right to become the children of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who are in the Lord. So why would I title a sermon like this? Are you ready to die? Because it's the most important question in all the world. It's the most important question in all the world. If you're not sure, I hope you won't walk out this door without talking to me or one of our elders. If you're not sure, you can cry out now, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You can go home justified. All of your sins forgiven. This is the most important question of the day because we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? There were several fatal accidents this week right here in Collier County. Right? Every time we get on the road, we take our lives into our hands. It is the most important question. Are you in the Lord? Do you trust in him? It's all by grace. We don't come with anything that we offer to him and say, well, here is why you should accept me. Here is why you should forgive me. No, we don't come with anything. We come as needy. The only thing that we contribute to our salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. I didn't invent that. That's a great summary. It's true. We need Christ. I call you today to cry out to the Lord for mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you for your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you would come and visit us now. Bless your people. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit and with faith as we go about our day, that we would keep our eyes fixed on you. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, Lord, move in their hearts today to just cry out to you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. May Christ forgive me of all my sins. I believe. And Lord, would you bless now the tithes and offerings we bring before you. Multiply these gifts and use them to build your church here and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.